Hello, and welcome to Lesson 25. I hope you have been enjoying this lecture series and the topics that we have covered. Thanks to the questions you asked, the fabric of the Hands Full program is being woven into a protocol that many of you will enjoy implementing, both for your children with special needs and for your children who are developing typically. I'd like to take another continued opportunity to thank Hamaspik in general and Nishmoseni in particular for keeping this line going so that you can learn the Hands Full Behavior Management Program and everything that comes along with it. At this juncture, if you follow the last 24 lectures in the order that they were posted, you should understand the framework upon which this program was built. You should know that the Hands Full program has two age group sections, one for children ages 0 to 10, and one for teenagers ages 10 to 18. You should also know that both of these age groups have the same three goals, built one upon the other, which are the root of all behavioral health and Menschlichkeit. You should understand why phase one, frustration tolerance, is the foundation upon which are built phase two, obedience, and then phase three, impulse control. You should also be able to list and recognize the various strategies that are used during the three phases for young children and the strategies that are used during the three phases of teen chinuch. If you are having any trouble at all following any of this, go back to the beginning of this series and listen again. The information is there for you, and parents tell me often that they gain so much from repeated listening. Alternatively, you can always purchase any of the various products, textbooks, handbooks, audiobooks that are available on my website, www.handsfullchinuch.com. And of course, your third option is one that we encourage consistently. Call in. Leave your question on the recording. The questions arrive to me, and I will address them as I receive them. Now, moving on. Let's deviate away from behavior and the Hands Full program and address a question that I was waiting for someone to ask. This is a question that pertains to every parent of a child with special needs. It could be that the reason that no one asked this question on this line is because, one, people are under the impression that this line is entirely devoted to child behavior, or two, this question and its underlying core concepts are Baruch Hashem being addressed by all the wonderful support that you are getting from the Nishmoseni hotline in particular and Hamaspik in general. Either way, it's always a good idea to go over this topic, regardless of whether it applies to those whose children with special needs are adults, young adults, teens, children, toddlers, infants, or believe it or not yet born. The topic is initial diagnosis, that very first moment when you felt that iron grip around your heart, when you knew that you were going to be the parent of a child with special needs. You probably all remember that moment when all you wanted to do was make a U-turn and get off that terrifying road you found yourself traveling on. I think every single one of us can transport ourselves 1,000 miles an hour back to that moment. It's like those who remember exactly where they were when 9/11 hit. Some of us got our diagnosis in one moment, either with results of a test or by a physician who simply told us. Some of us got our diagnosis over time, but either way, that moment stays with us. And it defines us all as part of the heroines group, the few, the proud, the ones who know very clearly that they are parents of something super extra special. It's true that the first initial moment of diagnosis gets mushed up with all the memories, both easy, good, and difficult, as our children grow. But either way, the moment stays. So you're asking yourself, why is she talking about this now? After all, my child is 3, he's 8, 12, 15, or whatever age. I'm done with that. Some of you might say, are you kidding? My child added so much bracha to my family. I'm not going back there to those first terrible moments, days, weeks, months. Some of you might say, I never really got over that moment. It's the day my life changed forever. Either way, the reason I feel that this subject is important, particularly for the ones who are newly diagnosed, the ones who are learning about their children with special needs for the first time, and who are experiencing that train switch, where their train, which was traveling on the regular track, is being switched to another track, could possibly benefit from this. Besides the challenge of dealing with the pain that this news evokes, there are two additional challenges that grow out of the pain. The first is, how do I tell people? What do I say? What expression should I have on my face? How do I walk on the street? How do I walk into a chasana? This question is because most people are forced to face the public before they themselves have worked out their feelings. And because they must face the world, no, we can't settle under our covers and ignore the people in our lives. We end up needing a crash course in how to navigate ourselves while we are working things through for ourselves. That's number one. And number two, which will probably make you laugh, or at least I hope so, how do I respond to the unintentional, idiotic things that people say? So today, my hope is to address all of these topics: how to navigate the pain, how to face the people, and the appropriate responses to people's unintentional ridiculousness. So as most of you know, I experienced this train switch moment years before there was anybody to turn to. So the first item of chizuk that I got, besides, of course, my daughter's speech therapist, Adele Markowitz, who you heard about, the first item of chizuk that I got my hands on was actually an article by somebody named Emily Pearl Kingsley. And many of you probably have heard this article or read it. It was titled Welcome to Holland. I don't remember where or how I found this article, but I clung to it for dear life. Read it over and over and over again. It took a long time for me to be able to read it without breaking down. Many of you probably know it by heart by now, but for those of you who are newcomers who need our support, I'm going to read it aloud. It's titled Welcome to Holland, and it reads like this. I am often asked to describe the experience of raising a child with a disability, to try to help people who have not shared that unique experience to understand it, to imagine how it would feel. It's like this. When you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and you make your wonderful plans: the Colosseum, the Michelangelo David, the gondolas in Venice. You may learn some handy phrases in Italian. It's all very exciting. After months of eager anticipation, the day finally arrives. You pack your bags and off you go. Several hours later, the plane lands. The stewardess comes in and says, "Welcome to Holland." "Holland," you say. "What do you mean, Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life, I've dreamed of going to Italy." But there's been a change in the flight plan. They've landed in Holland, and there you must stay. The important thing is that they haven't taken you to a horrible, disgusting, filthy place full of pestilence, famine, and disease. It's just a different place. So you must go out and buy new guidebooks, and you must learn a whole new language, and you will meet a whole new group of people you would never have met. It's just a different place. It's slower paced than Italy, less flashy than Italy. But after you've been there for a while and you catch your breath and you look around and you begin to notice that Holland has windmills and Holland has tulips, Holland even has Rembrandts. But everybody you know is busy coming and going from Italy, and they're all bragging about what a wonderful time they had there. And for the rest of your life, you will say, "Yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned." And the pain of that will never, ever, ever go away, because the loss of that dream is a very, very significant loss. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the very special, the very lovely things about Holland. I just love this article. And clearly it was written by someone who, for some reason, only had one child and only lived in Holland. Most of us, although not all of us, wind up having dual citizenship. We juggle back and forth between Italy and Holland because we also are benched with children who are developing normally. So we do experience Italy as well. Some people might find the contrast between Italy and Holland difficult to deal with. Some people enjoy the Italian part of their lives, and it gives them strength to live part-time in Holland. Either way, and there's no right or wrong way, the analogy of Italy and Holland to our various children is a beautiful one and was a source of great chizuk for me. Thankfully, there are other sources of chizuk available to you. Hamaspik alone runs program after program designed to empower you, the parent, so you eventually acquire the strength to make decisions and be mechanech your child with dignity and nobility. It takes some of us longer than others to arrive to the point in time where we can pick up our chins with pride and face everyone's looks, stares, and the elephants that are in the rooms with belief that we are doing or have done the correct thing and are comfortable with our new citizenship in Holland. No matter how long this takes, do not despair. You will get there in the end. We all do. So this brings us to the next topic, how to face people. I confess this is a tough one. It's not easy to keep a pleasant or happy face on the outside when you're aching on the inside. Some people are better actors or actresses than others, and it is very understandable to have difficulty putting a smile on your face when you've had a hard day at the doctor's office or at a therapy session. I remember certain days when I thought things could never get worse, and how difficult it was to simply walk into the grocery store and smile casually at general acquaintances. But somehow, like any skill that we must learn in life, I learned with practice. Here's how I did it. I don't know if this will help you, but it's just worth sharing my two cents. I used to tell myself as follows. The average Jane Doe, who has no intimate contact with individuals with special needs, is frightened when they see a wheelchair or a hearing aid or any child with an obvious disability. And because of their fear, they, quote, try to hide their eyes, unquote, and, quote, quickly pass on by, unquote. Remember, as A.B. Rottenberg so beautifully sings in the Who Am I song? These reactions rob your children of normal human interaction, which they desperately need. So when this kind of thing used to happen as I was walking in the street and I watched people turn away from me, I used to tell myself this: if I'm going to walk around with a sad, long face, then what do I expect from all the people around me? So if I want anyone else to feel positively about Rachi, about my daughter, I'd better put on a positive show myself. And so I viewed myself as kind of a trailblazer. And once I had this sense of purpose, somehow it was easier to fake it. There was a plan, and I was part of that plan. And guess what? The plan really worked. Slowly over the years, when it wasn't in style to do so, my daughter became a cause for celebration. Every time she achieved a milestone, I made sure to share it with someone, parents, in-laws, friends, whoever would listen. I admit that I faked it a lot. It wasn't easy in the beginning, but I learned how effective a strategy this was in making my daughter into someone people felt positive about. And even though this took place way before it was in style to glorify or be proud of or dress a special needs child in the best children's clothing, it made a huge difference. She wore matching clothing with her siblings, not because I'm so into matching clothing, but as an expression of solidarity with the special needs population and to communicate the message that all of my children are equally loved by their parents. So the answer to the question of how do I face people before I've actually worked out my feelings myself is actually quite simple. Settle in. Know that working out your own feelings about your child with special needs is an ongoing and long-term process. It's not finite. It doesn't last X amount of weeks or months or years. It's not quantitative. It's qualitative. It's a mourning process. There's a loss here. And losses take lifetimes to process and accept. But that doesn't mean we stop living. Life has to move on. This is Olam Hazeh as we know it. Life on this planet was never meant for us to lay in a hammock with a pina colada. This life is about purpose. It's about accomplishment. It's about intentions. It's about goals. It's about achievement. It's about triumph. It's about Kiddush Hashem. It's about Emunah B'Hashem. It's about round-the-clock chesed. It's about opportunity for growth in every which direction. I was 23 years and 2 days old when my daughter was born. I sometimes wonder what I would look like today without her. What my life would have been like without all this opportunity for growth. Interesting thought from time to time. And then comes the next concept. When you finally do muster up the courage to pick up your chin and put a smile on your face and go out in public, and you finally do pick up the nerve and the guts to say the statement, my child was diagnosed with X or Y or Z, and then comes along someone who has none of even the limited amount of knowledge you have gathered, even if you've been exposed to this for a very short time, and they don't know what to do or what to say, and they probably know that whatever they say is going to be wrong, and they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, so they offer sympathy. Whoops, that doesn't feel good. Or they try to encourage you by saying everything is going to be great. Well, who says it's going to be great? Or they change the subject and talk about shtisim. Well, that makes me feel cheap. So whatever they do, it's probably not good anyway. So you have two choices. You could get mad at them, which only depletes your energy and is extremely unproductive. Or you can look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, well, how good am I at facing someone who is going through something that I, Baruch Hashem, have not faced? What do I look like in a shiva house? Do I say the right thing when I meet someone who never got married? Or never had children? Or lost a loved one? Do I win the award for diplomacy? Also not. And no matter how many articles and how many magazines we have read about what to say and what not to say to people who are going through A or B or C challenge, we still mess up. And on top of that, if I were to ask you to write an article and direct people what to say or not say to someone who is struggling with a child with special needs, what would I tell them that they should say or should not say? I'm not even sure, which is why I never wrote such an article. Tell them that one day they'll have nachas from this child? Whoops, wrong. Tell them you're davening for them? Whoops, wrong again. Tell them you're so impressed at what a great job they're doing? Yeah, what do you know? Wrong again. Tell them that Hashem knows who to give these children to? Ouch. Michael Tivis, wrong again. So bottom line is that there is nothing that they can say, right or wrong, that's going to help us adjust to Holland. Except maybe that article about Italy and Holland itself could do the job. That author was Taka a genius, but get this. You know why she was a genius? Because she herself went through it. She had a special needs child herself. And that's probably the bottom line. So my recommendation to all of you, whether you have just experienced a new diagnosis with a child who has special needs, or you've been dealing with a child with special needs for a while, are number one, lower your expectations of the Hamon Am. By the Hamon Am, I mean those who have not experienced what you're going through and are probably going to mess up no matter what they say to you. Understand that they mean well, and they're not trying to hurt you. If I would walk around being upset at those who said silly things to me over the years, I would be one big, huge piece of negativity. Not worth it. Let it go. Number two, try to find support from those who have been there, just by virtue of the fact that they've been there and have endured even partially what you're enduring will allow you to be more tolerant even if they say the wrong thing. Also, those who have been where you've been are likely to make less mistakes even if they don't get it perfectly right the first time. Number three, one word of caution. Different parents of children with special needs might vary in their opinions of how children with special needs should be raised, schooled, or trained. And as with most things, there's no one right way. It took me a long time to figure out for myself what worked best for our child. And whenever we made decisions for my daughter, there were always those who came along with prophecies of doom and swore to me that I was making the biggest mistake of my life and that I would see no hatzlacha with X or Y or Z path. Trust yourself. You're the parent. You know best. Do your own objective research. Read, listen, learn, and you don't necessarily need to listen to others. Parents need to find themselves, and with Siyata Dishmaya are the ones who are equipped to make the correct choices. So there. This is my 2.5 cents about how the road to adjustment and dealing with others after diagnosis of a child with special needs might look. Remember that the opportunities are endless. The possibilities are endless. And the nachas that you have from these children is taka true nachas, because it comes along with your hard work and yegia, where you take nothing for granted. Chazak v'amatz, you are a true heroine and a true trailblazer. Have a wonderful week.